me as I take off. I'll be working until I have all of my days off. Then I'm surfing in California when I'm paid off. I'll be blurring my vision, sipping on that base sauce. La da da, watch out, I'm coming, yeah. I know, I'm a hustler, I go. Got me running, got me gunning for thrones. I'm on. Go back, no pass, no pass, so fast, I'm gone. Grow fast, big splash, all cash.
Let's go, we're back, here we go. All right, before we get too far, I got to kind of catch you guys up with some stuff. Before I even introduce the show, introduce the normal intro, we kind of got to run through a couple things real quick. First of all, happy week after the Masters. Last week was Masters week. Incredible week. I am in awe of how awesome that tournament is, how awesome the course is, the grass, the trees, the bird sounds, everything's perfect. That place is perfect. Awesome golf course. Awesome tournament, awesome course. Everything about that place is awesome. And I decided I'm going next year. I don't know how I'm going. I don't know how many days of it I'm going. I decided no matter what, I'm going to the Masters next year. I don't know who I'm staying with. I don't know how I'm getting tickets, but I'm going. We're going to make it happen. I'm going to keep you. That might even be a new segment on the pod. Like, how am I getting to the Masters next year? Like, I'm so serious. That place is so awesome. I got to go. I've never wanted to go to a professional golf tournament. And I'm a big golfer, big golf fan. And I just never had the drive to go to one of those tournaments. Like, I think if I lived in Phoenix, I'd want to go to the Waste Management. I think that's a sick. I think it's in Phoenix. Oh, man, that'd be bad. But I'm almost positive it's in Phoenix. I think it'd be a sick tournament to go to. I never want to go to like a golf tournament because it's like slower. You got to walk around the course. But there's something about Augusta National, something about the Masters, something about putting the chair down. $1.50 pimento cheese. Come on. Sick tournament. Sick tournament. Shout out to Scottie Scheffler. Pulled out a dominating win. He was just throwing darts, throwing daggers. Like he up three strokes. Why not birdie another one to make it four? Just like dominating performance. And then after he's like, yeah, like I wish I could soak it in more. Let me just get home. About to have his first kid. What a week for the kid. Scottie Scheffler. Congratulations. Big win for Scottie. All right. In terms of the pod, back on track here. We were supposed to do an episode last week. Okay. We were supposed to do an episode with the Birmingham Southern guys. And I actually recorded an intro for that before I did the interview with them, just because I was pretty sure we were recording. No big deal. We had to reschedule. We're still going to get them on. Long story short. That's what I'm wearing. Long story short. Sorry, fielders. Birmingham Southern, the entire school is shutting down. I think May 20th, the entire school is shutting down. And like, we've never seen anything like this. And it's crazy. Because like, think about the juniors or the people that are a class away from graduating. They can't graduate. The school is shutting down. I feel terrible for the students, the athletes, the guys of the baseball program that know. It's crazy. Even the coaches. It's insane. You know, we hope that everybody falls into better situations and it works out for the best interest of everybody, even though it's a crazy situation. Long story short, they cut down. Well, no, the school is shutting down. I keep wanting to say cut the program. The reason I keep saying that, back in COVID, Furman University, they cut their baseball program. Our guy Dylan Mattella was on the show in season one. I don't know what episode, but I will try to find out real quick. Long story short, they cut down the program and all the guys from Furman had to transfer. It was a crazy thing. It was in COVID. They all got the year back, but they left school, obviously. They had to hit the transfer portal. Guys were getting all over. We met our guy Dylan Mattella. I met him with Will and his dad, Will Harrison, his dad. We met Dylan throwing a bullpen at Will's Park in COVID, and he told us basically about Furman being shut down. He just had committed to Georgia State. I remember he put himself on Twitter, got some looks, and he committed to Georgia State. He's tearing it up there. We got to do an intro, or we got to do another interview with him soon on the show. But, oh, found it. Episode 16 of season one. So episode 16, Dylan was on the show. Awesome guest. But they cut the program down. All those guys had to go to different places. This story is 10 times crazier because the entire school is shutting down. And we'll hear from those guys hopefully this week or next week. Matthew Mapes, Trip Barron, we played travel ball together. Great dudes. And right now they're trying to figure out, and maybe that's why they canceled. It's okay. Life happens. We're going to get that episode in. They're trying to figure out where they're going next year. It's very stressful, but I think they're doing a great job. They're great players. They're going to find good homes, and we're going to get them on the show. Okay, today in this episode, you guys are about to hear, got a couple of my boys, Charlie Kapp and Ryan Martin, on the show. Shout out to you guys. Thanks for hopping on last minute episode. They weren't not prepared for this with questions or like good audio setups. They just hopped on the show. I really appreciate you guys coming on at the end of last week. I think it was Thursday night. After the first day of the Masters, but they're awesome guys. They're awesome guests. Charlie and I played travel ball together back when we were 15. And the truth of the matter is when we first were on that team, it's not that we didn't like each other. It's just like, we weren't like boys. And I don't think Charlie liked me, to be honest, guys, but it's okay. We grow up. But the reason I loved Charlie even back then, or had some inner love, was because no matter what, even though even when we weren't cool, we would still kind of show up early to hit together. And following that season, we started hitting together more often and going to the field late. End of junior year, going into our senior year, we would always go hit together late nights at Domity Senior. His dad would turn the lights on for us. It was awesome. We'd go there, take BP, and we've kind of been training ever since. Ryan Martin is another one of the guys. He plays at Georgia Highlands. He's phenomenal, great hitter, great guy. He's having a great year. I think he had 7 homers when we were recording the show, and now he has 8, I just found out. So that's our guy. Just keep swinging that thing, and I'm excited to see what he can do. And Ryan and I, we train together in the off seasons. We talk about hitting, and this episode's kind of cool because we talk about like our different styles of hitting, and it's kind of a good lesson for all the fielders out there. You're going to have different styles. You're going to have different feels. But the A swings and certain pitches, certain spots are going to look pretty similar, like in terms of, you know, your path to the ball. So kind of stay like be observant and kind of put your listening ears on. I feel like a teacher saying that, which I don't like, but put your listening ears on, listen to that. And it's going to be a good episode. So without further ado, we'll shoot you guys over to them. I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll be back with a banger next week. Stay on the banger train, baby. More episodes to come. We're getting close to episode 50. Episode 50 is going to be a good one, I promise you guys. And first of all, I just want to say thank you. But seriously, I just want to actually say thank you guys for the listening, the supporting. It keeps me doing it. Even if I got like 2 listeners, I'd still do the show. But the show is actually doing really well lately, and no signs of slowing down soon. So without further ado, let's get you guys Ryan and Charlie, Charlie and Ryan. And yeah, enjoy. Let's go. We're live, boys. It's good to have you guys here. First, as I said in the intro, first multi-person episode in a while. Ryan Martin, Charlie Kapp, thank you for joining the show today. Last minute episode, since I had some guys bail on me, not going to name names, but Ryan, Charlie, thanks for joining the show.
Happy to be here. Yes,
sir, of course.
Charlie might be the first ever and most loyal listener of the In and Out podcast. When the show started in 2020, Charlie and I like for sure didn't like each other, but he still made sure to listen to the pod. So a lot of credit to Charlie, and big shout out to the Kapp family, because one thing led to another. Now we got a new sponsor of the show. So we appreciate the Kapp family. So Charlie, introduce yourself real quick. Talk to the fielder, say what's up.
Yeah. My name is Charlie Kapp. I played baseball at Andrew College, Junior College, Southwest Georgia, with St. Pius. I've known Aaron since I was 15.
Charlie and I have known each other for a while. As I said, we definitely didn't like each other, but we're gonna get into a little lesson that you'll learn from me and Charlie's story of why you should at least be cool with the people that you're on teams with, no matter how much you hate them at first. But all right, long story short, Ryan, introduce yourself, please. Sorry.
Yeah. I go to Georgia Highlands College. I play baseball up here. We're up in Northwest Georgia. Known Aaron since we were seniors in high school. Senior year summer.
Yes, sir. Ryan and I have been, no. So that year, during our senior year, we've been getting some work in, and now Ryan's tearing it up at Georgia Highlands, hitting just shy of 300, 7 pumps on the year. I think you're going to get to 10. Let's go.
Hopefully we're in 15.
Yeah.
If I can get two by the end of this week, I think we're in good shape to hit 15. So.
Yeah, the boys are high. I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but you're doing great. You guys are doing great, and I'm excited to keep following. I think you got at least 10 in you. I know you think you got 15. Didn't want to put too much pressure. But all right. Charlie, Ryan, whoever wants to go first, just give me a little bit of insight in your recruiting process. I know they've been very different, and kind of what the JUCO process is like for both of you guys so far.
Okay, my story is pretty like long and unique, but long story short, I didn't have any looks out of high school. Talked to some schools here and there, but nothing official. And I ended up doing a post grad year at Scouts USA. I learned about it from one of my buddies. The graduating class ahead of me did the same thing, and it was really beneficial for him. So I did that, got a lot better, got a lot stronger, was really beneficial. And late, like early summer, I committed to Andrew College.
So, I'm kind of similar to him in the fact that I didn't have many looks at a high school. I talked to a couple bigger schools my junior year, but nothing ever really came of it. I was, guys that have known me, I've been injured most of my high school career. So end of my junior year, beginning of my senior year, Dash starts talking to me. Dash is the head coach up here at Highlands. So he offers me and I end up committing here and
Yeah, no, I think there's obviously a lot of benefits to the junior college kind of system. I think one is flexibility, and I think that I've gotten some good feedback. A lot of kind of younger guys have been listening to the show lately, which is really exciting to me. If you're in the recruiting process, right, and if you guys are in the recruiting process, what would you kind of say the benefits, the pros and cons, right, from like an objective standpoint, not your school as a whole? Where would you kind of say, if you're looking at a junior college, what should you expect? What are the good things? What are the bad things about the junior college system?
okay, so the biggest thing that I would probably say is don't treat it like you're getting, how do I put this? Don't treat it like it's about you. Like you can't treat it like it's about you. You can't treat it like it's just 2 years for you to get yourself recruited. You have to do what you do. Like if you're at a 4 year or if you're on a high school team, is that you're trying to win a national championship. It's not just about getting yourself recruited. It's about, you still have to be, inundated with your own team. You still have to be there. You have to be between your own 2 feet. It's not all about the future, especially when you're in JUCO with long days, very long days, long bus rides, all the 9 yards that you hear about JUCO.
Right.
So, that's probably been the biggest switch for me when I really kind of turned it on here about 2 months ago, was quit thinking about getting recruited and stuff and think more about, honestly, just winning in general, being selfless and looking at it more as trying to win a national championship, as odd as that may sound for a lot of guys that, especially in high school, that are thinking about going to JUCO, is, everybody says, put up a year of stats and, go Division One. And in reality, you really have to try to help your team win, and that's how you'll put up the stats.
Yeah, I think another big thing that Ryan really said there, another thing, especially if you're struggling, right? Not that you guys are obviously or not, but if you're a high school kid listening to this and you're kind of having a tough time, it's easy to put a lot of pressure on yourself and almost struggle because of that. But I feel like a lot of people do really well in high school because they're kind of bought into something. And junior college, 4 year colleges, it's the same part of it. Even summer ball, because when you kind of win as a group, hitting's contagious, right? We've said it before, but I think a big way to kind of go about this thing is, look for the interest of winning. And I'm not just saying, hey, no matter what, look for the interest of a team, because obviously you gotta play, find a good situation for yourself. It's a school that you're not going to play at, even though it's a great team, might not be the school for you. But when you get to a place that you feel like is a place you can develop, I would really say, hey, buy into what they're doing and then just train as hard as you can so that you can help win. Not just like be a slave to the team, but look, be your best self to help this group win. Charlie, would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's like a great point, because you see guys all the time on like winning teams. Sometimes guys that like aren't as good end up going to good places, and then you play bad teams where there's some studs, but they end up going to not as good places. Because, I mean, any team that wins, coaches are going to come watch. Coaches are going to be more invested in guys that come from winning programs. I think that's definitely a huge part of it. And also, like, winning's more fun. And playing winning baseball, you better yourself, you better your teammates, you have a better time. So, I mean, that's just how it goes.
I agree. I think a really good example there is a lot of these big league teams. I think us included, a ton of the high school guys, college guys, we got a lot of work to do. Not that we're on track, but we got a lot of work to do before we're ready to play pro ball. But when you look at these big league programs, right, and the teams that do really well, they're all pushing themselves individually in the off season, right? They're trying to be their best version of themselves. But once it comes to the season, they're kind of letting their stuff go so that, they can help wins in the column. I think people kind of see, hey, it's either all about you or all about the team. Meanwhile, if you really focus on your development and putting as much effort as you can into your game, when it's time to step on the field as a group, everybody's playing their part. That's kind of how I see it, right? And I think it's a good balance of kind of not falling in the trap of just like, oh, I'm going to do whatever my coach says to do at practice, and that's kind of my baseball development, and not just do, hey, I got to do whatever I got to do to be myself. So look out, I would say look out for yourself in the sense of how can you better yourself to be a member of this team that wins, right?
Yeah, 100%. And when you're on a team of guys that want to get better, it's not just like, it's not a cliquey team, or like you're not just like one of a few guys that wants to get better and everybody else is just going through the motions. When everybody wants to get better, then you trust each other more, you have more respect for each other because you feel like they want it just as much as you. And then ultimately you'll play better because you have more confidence in yourself and your teammates.
I agree. I think, a good example is the Braves. I mean, we're all Braves fans. You watch that group, got a lot of guys, different backgrounds, right? Different off-season routines. You got guys like Olsen training at Maven in Georgia. You guys like Acuna going back home, Venezuela, doing his training there, right? But when it comes to season, they're all doing their attributes and they're all playing as a group and just hitting the crap out of the ball. So I think that's kind of where that falls in. Charlie, kind of going back on that team standpoint, you kind of went to a big time high school program, St. Pius here in Georgia, right? And so did you, Ryan Lassiter, here in Georgia as well. What would you say the biggest takeaways from kind of playing under big time coaches, kind of big time programs, representing kind of historic kind of stuff in the community, and kind of how did that teach you guys stuff along the way?
My freshman, sophomore, and junior year, we had a coach who really doesn't have a lot of baseball experience. He's a football coach, and he's one of those coaches that like he coaches every sport. He's been around for a while, and he's a great coach. He just didn't know baseball as much as someone like baseball people do, but he knows how to coach guys and get guys to play well. And then my senior year, we had Coach Harlan, who's Hall of Fame coach in Georgia. He's a legendary coach in Georgia at the high school level. So I mean, that's playing under two very different styles and different ways of coaching. So I think, I mean, that's a unique experience that I got to go through.
Right.
So at Lassiter, actually, we played my junior year. We got I guess one new coach. We got a new coach that he went to Lassiter, the Stevens brothers, if any of y'all know them. The youngest one was still on the team. He was a senior my junior year. And the two older ones, one of the Brandon went to UGA, played baseball there, got drafted by the Mariners, I want to say it was the Mariners, and then I think he blew out his UCL and he had to hang up his cleats. But Jake was the middle brother, and Jake was our pitching coach. Brandon would be our catching coach. So just because they were on the 2009 through 2011, they were there, and those are some of like the most iconic years for Lassiter baseball. Some of the most, like what you hear about a lot of the guys that have come out of Lassiter have been either on the 99 team or the 2010 team, and two of the those two dudes were on that 2010 team, so they could speak to us a lot when we were making our playoff run, just about, how we needed to go about our business, how to, not make the situation bigger than it was, especially when we got to play at Truist in the championship. Just trying to not make the moment too big, you know, because your heart's racing, obviously. You know, you're a high school kid playing in front of 11,000 people for the first time in your life. You know, you're up there and your heart's basically beating out of your chest, you know. But another thing I would put into it with the high school stuff is when you know, you're tight with your guys, like you have a really good friendship with your teammates and those around you. I remember that playoff run year, we were that's the tightest team I've ever been in. Like we were inseparable.
Right.
And you know, I still talk to a lot of those guys. I'm sure I'll still talk to a lot of those guys, you know, a lot further down the line. But those were some of my best friends at the time, and that year was crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. I think there's a lot to be said about kind of about those groups. And I see a lot of areas. High school ball is really good. Georgia, I think just the high school culture is so deep, right? And just in the sense that you form these relationships of kind of your high school ball in Georgia, the guys you meet, the guys you play with, the guys you train with, and then that kind of shapes the way you're going to go about your training. It's really cool. You know, you got guys like Dansby, you know, going back to train at high school facilities in Georgia in the off season, and that kind of just shows like the roots of high school ball here. And I think you hear a lot of guys kind of talk about Georgia high school baseball, and whether it's the talent, sure, whether it's how good players are, whether it's how good teams were certain years. Yeah, that's one thing. I just think the fact and the accessibility and kind of there's a level of maybe you guys would agree, just like grit, but also family. You know, wherever you are in Georgia, I feel you can kind of come back, get your stuff done in the off season, get ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. There's a lot of baseball in Georgia. There's a lot of high volume of players in a small area. So, I mean, you play guys that you play against your whole life, and you see them in college and everything.
Right. Little backstory for you guys. So us three train a lot together, right? And I think a big topic of conversation is kind of how to go about off-season training and where to start within your kind of within your game, within your progressions, and how to go about your business. What would you guys say in the past couple of years, the biggest things you've learned, you know, whether it's training the off-season, how you've kind of developed how to go about your business and get something productive done when you're getting ready for a season.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to Rapid in the off seasons since I was like 12. That's usually what a lot of my off season work consists of, is just, I mean, it's that strength training stuff at Rapid is real good. But I mean, you know, everyone has their own routine, especially during the off season when you're not necessarily under a practice structure every day. You're not, you know, you're not having an outline of what you have to do every day, you know, put in your face by your coach. So I think it's something that you have to really find for yourself and not, you know, and everybody sees all this stuff on Instagram and all this stuff on Twitter nowadays. And it's like, you know, you can pull different stuff from there and add it into your own routine. But I don't think you should, I think you should really make it your own and not, you know, use anybody else's as this cut and dry thing that you have to use.
I think can kind of to add on that, right? To almost summarize that, whether it be a younger population listening, find something that works for you and then progress and challenge yourself off of that, right? I think the two extremes that guys kind of find themselves in training, and I wouldn't say bad because I'll say the word optimal. I would say that the most optimal conditions are find something consistent but challenging, right? Because I think
Right. The
guys maybe,
consistency is huge. The
yeah, right.
consistency is huge. When you put in work, whether it be, I mean, it may look absolutely foreign to somebody else, but if it works for you, it works for you. And if you do it consistently, you will be a good player. You will have the confidence, which is another thing that when you put that work in and you have that consistent routine, you have that confidence under you. You have that base where you can just always go back to, whether you're struggling, whether you're doing good, whether you're hot, whether you're cold, whether you're up, whether you're down. You have to have a foundation, especially when you get mid-season, your body's tired and all that, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's inevitable. I think a good way to kind of go about things, right, is you see kids, whether it be kids, younger kids, even college kids, I've seen it just hop in the cages, they just take a bunch of hacksaw flips, right? And on the other extreme, there's guys that every time they're hitting, they're trying to hit the hardest, craziest pitch off the machine, the toughest drills, right? What I would say is find your routine. And what we mean routine is something to help you get ready to get your swing off or your A ground ball off or your best throw off. Find your routines and then challenge yourself. If you're a pitcher and you're working on your throwing, challenge yourself with command, right? If you're a hitter, challenge yourself with different spin, with different angles. That's kind of what we mean. Challenge, work off a progression. So just get a little better at something, right?
I mean, I hit with Charlie all off season. I'm sure he can say a little bit about how he found his routine this off season.
Yeah.
I never had like a super strict routine. Like a big thing for me is just feels. Like the more mechanical I get, the more things that tend to go wrong. So really for me, if I can find the feels, then I'll feel good. So I mean, this off season, if you want me to break it down, just like hitting
Yeah.
my hitting off season, I've pretty much eliminated the tee fully from my routine, because just me as a hitter, I'm very very pushy, like very contact oriented, or I had been my whole life. So I kind of I eliminated that, because that can also create a lot of bad habits for me. So I stick to flips, and I'll start with my top hand, bottom hand, and then I'll go to like a big choke up. Like I'll choke up a lot on the bat, and do like some short finish drills. And then one drill that I really like, I call it a Jackson Holliday drill, is where he kind of does that big leg hover and pushes the ground away from him, and gets his hands into a good slot. I really like that drill. That feel really clicks in my head. And then I just go through some different for my third round, I'll just go through some different, like when you play wiffle ball in the backyard and you try to imitate somebody, I'll just go through, and I have three specific like stances that I like to feel. And that really clicks in my head, and clicks with my load and my swing, to make me feel good when I go to machine.
Right. And one thing I'd like to point out, what Charlie said, sorry, is that he said for him, right? Tee work for a lot of people, for me, for Ryan, is very valuable. But even within that, we look very different doing it. And a perfect example is Ryan and I have very different feels, right? I feel like me as a hitter, I'm a couple inches taller. I have some longer arms. And just the way I move, the way I stride, I try to almost turn under the ball, which is something Ryan kind of talked in not. Not, drop anything. I'm trying to really work my body to dig under, and that's a tough feel, which we can get into another day. The basis of it, though, is I feel like I'm staying nice, I'm staying down, I'm staying through, I'm making a high finish. Ryan, when he's at his best and he's in the cages, off the tee, it looks like he's almost chopping a little, right? And then when we both take our perfect swing, it looks the same. Or through, if
Literally
we,
on numbers, if you get on blast motion, they're literally the same swings.
right? And I was just about to bring that up. To where do you guys see the use of technology? I know Ryan and I kind of this past off season and or even in season, we've had some days we worked on some blast stuff, we've worked on the Rapsodo, right? Where do you kind of see that as technology versus feel, right? Numbers versus feel, or do you kind of see a combination as being valuable?
I think, I'm sure Charlie will have the same view of this. It's kind of a mix. I mean, so there are some guys that'll be huge into the tech stuff. You look at Trevor Bauer, you look at the way he goes about his business. If you just watch his vlogs, you can get to see a good insight of what the professionals are doing now, where they're going a lot more analytics side and a lot more tech side. But I mean, I'm not in my routine, I'm not a big gadget and gizmo guy. I have my one or two drills that I do, and I don't usually get off anything like Rapsodo. I usually don't try to take any information from it, just making sure that if I do get on something like Blast Motion or Rapsodo or TrackMan, that I'm just checking on stuff, making sure everything's there, checking the EV every once in a while, maybe BS and having some fun, but I'm not really using it as a tool, making sure I'm having the right numbers and stuff, just because I was recruited just because of my size, and that I'm a doubles hitter. And occasionally I hit for some power. I wasn't recruited off numbers necessarily, but and I think a lot of the younger guys now, they look at numbers and they think that's everything. And it's not everything, but there is a mix where it can actually get you recruited. I know there's a guy here at Highlands. He went to Erskine last year, and he's kind of straight over the top. He had TJ last year. He actually committed to UGA a couple weeks ago, and the only reason they wanted him is because they saw a couple numbers on the track man. And
Right.
that's somewhat where the game's going nowadays, but it's also not everything, if you know what I mean.
I was going to say, I think another little takeaway from what kind of Ryan was saying, just in very simple terms, numbers is a good indicator of how you're performing and not stats, right? The way your body moves, and whether it be a number in the weight room of how fast you're moving a barbell, right? Or an exit velocity number, or a spin rate number, or a plane number, right? These are not numbers that you should take a swing and then adjust stuff swing by swing to try to hit numbers. But if you're working on feels and working on drills and working in a way that's going to help you be beneficial, taking a look at some numbers once in a while, I think is a really good way to say, hey, I'm making a good move. And if not, and if you see some numbers you don't like, maybe it's like, hey, I'm going to make an adjustment. Right. And I think Ryan, I think Charlie, we've looked at some different stuff in the past to, things that have helped us, things that don't mean anything, but just having awareness of what these things can do for us, I think is a big plus.
I think that's where the tech really can come in handy is when you can check on these numbers, the numbers that really matter to where you, to what you're working on, right? Like the only thing I would take away from something like a blast motion is the angle I'm actually like my barrel's actually coming through the zone. I don't want to be coming in too steep, choppy. I don't want to come in too steep, sweeping upward, So making sure my numbers are between a nice, 5 and 10, 7 and 12, something in there is what I would take away from that. But I wouldn't be looking at my hand speed or my exit velos or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say too, it's definitely all very individualized. I mean, for the three of us, we have pretty similar mentals in the fact that if we look at the numbers too much, we can get very like perfectionist and like try to be too fine with things. So I mean,
And to clarify, when you mean too fine, it's almost like you're not gonna give yourself the freedom to mess up. Is that what you
yeah,
mean? Okay.
exactly. That's exactly it. And so I mean, just some people can look at that and do that and be just fine, and that's how they get better. But I mean, it's all very individualized. It's all has to do with what you're working on that day, what your goal is. Just depends on what numbers you can use and what you don't need to use. And you just, for me, I gotta take everything, every like all the numbers, things I see on videos, the blast motion, all that. I could take all that with a grain of salt, right? Because it can be that for a little bit and then be a little bit different the next time. But it's all about, like I said, for me, it's all about the feel.
All right. Hope you guys are enjoying the episode. Quick pause in the episode, real quick. This is where our new sponsorship is supposed to be. However, we don't exactly have exactly what we're supposed to say yet. We're going to hold off for one more episode. I am excited nonetheless because we have a new sponsor. Anyways, hope you're enjoying the show. Charlie and Ryan, two of my boys, awesome guys. We got some good insight coming in the next half of the show. We took a little break because we were assuming we were going to have an ad read. However, we don't have it yet. So, give you guys a little second to breathe. Stay on your toes, Fielders. Episode 50 is almost two episodes away, and we're just going to keep going with awesome content. Got some exciting stuff here coming soon. So, hope you're enjoying. We'll shoot you right back into the action with Charlie and Ryan, and enjoy. All righty. Thanks for sticking with us. Quick word from the sponsors. As you heard, well, I hope I had it done. I had a little new ad read, so that was always exciting. But we were kind of talking about some hitting stuff there. We're going to pivot and have one more question for you guys on the hitting side of things, right? Say, whether it be a younger kid, okay, let's go a freshman in high school, okay? You got a kind of chance to talk to him about hitting. Give me one drill or kind of one feel, one drill that you would kind of say, hey, incorporate this. It could be one or two things. Incorporate this it consistently to kind of get to the next spot that you need to be.
Default answer would be, top hand, bottom hand drills.
Right.
I mean, those are good for anybody. Those are simple. Those are very, like, without me seeing anybody swing, that could probably help 90% of hitters.
I guess for me, if I was looking at a kid, I wouldn't necessarily show them a drill right off the rip. I kind of have to see a swing. Like I kind of have to see what how their swing is, how their swing plays, what they think about. But the biggest thing that I would try to emphasize to them is like compete with whoever you're hitting with, if you know what I mean. Even if you're just hitting off the tee, you know, divide the back of the cage into four sections, you know, go across and up and down and try to just hit the squares on each, try to hit something on at the back of the cage
That's
back
good.
there and just compete with each other. You know, me, you and Charlie, you know, we always play the hits game if we get a chance to. I'm always talking to y'all about the hits game, and something like that I think is a lot more beneficial, especially at a younger age where it's, you know, it's not really necessarily about drill work, more about just having fun and really enjoying the game and learning
Yeah.
how to compete. So.
That's good, dude. I think I like the day meet. We need to do this more. We got a chance to kind of do a mini scrimmage against each other, you know, throwing like you could either go squisher balls or some, you know, just not, you know, if you want to do a regular baseball, that's fine, or something that might not ring up the hands as much or something easier on the arm. You know, kind of set up the screen 40 feet and kind of just go three pitch mix, face each other for a couple innings, be honest, have fun, and try to just, you know, put together some good at bats, work on your two strike approach. Little things, compete, approach. I think all that stuff is really beneficial, especially getting ready for a season, right? Speaking of getting ready for season, we hit it a lot of different places. All right. Us three together, whether it's you and your own, I want you guys to give me your top, and I'll go too. Give me your top three hitting spots in the area. All right.
So I don't know if these are in any order, but Kirk's in its prime. Love
Oh,
it.
yeah,
Cage is
okay.
open. Brings
Quick
back all
pause.
the memories. I think that might be one.
Oh, well, quick pause. Going back to probably the first place Ryan Martin and I hit together. Shout out to used to be 4946 Cobb Parkway, Doyle Academy. That place was
Still knows
awesome.
the Addy. Well,
Yeah.
not anymore, but
Yeah,
not
not
anymore.
anymore, but that was a good one. Continue, Charlie, sorry.
I think that might be one. And then I mean two and three interchangeable probably for me is the bakery and Pius on field at under the lights.
Yeah, that's good.
Under the lights for sure.
Pius is like such a pro, like dimensions and field, and we've had some good nights there, especially 2022 summer, early summer, May, June 2022. We were ripping Pius and a lot, and it was a good time. Sometimes a little harder for everybody to get out there based on where we are, but yeah, that's a dope spot. Dope spot.
Yeah. I mean, you could even go Pius indoor. I mean, it's nothing special, but I feel like a lot of good work get
A
in there.
lot of quality work, I will say. And if any one thing sums up, not to bring back the high school files up, but if anything sums up my last 5 years of development, or whenever, or me and Charlie, or me, Charlie, and Ryan's our work together, it was the night before graduation of my graduation. I had to be up like at 7 to graduate the next morning and drive to Georgia Tech. Charlie and I were in those cages till damn near like midnight working on stuff. And like I could not have cared less that I was giving a speech at graduation, more so like if I could hit some barrels. And we were just like talking about hitting, getting video. And a lot of good memories. You know, it doesn't have to be a nice facility, but just barrels, 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 hanging with the boys, working on stuff, talking on stuff. It's a good process. It
Yeah.
really is. Ryan, what you got? Top three, hit me.
First, you know, I got to go with the Lassiter Rundor, big time for me. You
Yeah, that's a good
know,
one.
that's where I made most of my strides as a hitter. But number two, definitely a close second. Got to go Pius. Pius. That's one of my favorite places to hit on field. Me and Charlie got a little bet going if I conquer the batter's eye there one day.
One day,
He
baby.
thinks it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. Just
I
it's
think
just a
you got
matter of
it.
time. I think I might get it before you, the way things are But
looking right now.
hey, all I'm saying is I've hit a couple balls in conference play this year that would definitely have hit off of it if not cleared it. The one at Gordon, promise you would have hit the thing and probably tore a hole in it. So
I can't wait to see it. We'll have some time before we go to Summer Bowl. We'll have
Oh
some time.
yeah, guys,
And
we
then
it's
I won't
it
have no time if I'm in Junction, bro.
yeah,
You're right.
that's facts. But look, we're gonna get some barrels, we'll get some video. And we'll get some video and really settle that. For me, I'm gonna throw out a couple because
Oh, how could I forget Jays?
yeah, that's okay. All right.
That's a,
Okay.
I mean,
Number.
Jays got to be in there, but that's kind of a to the side because we can't get in there.
Yeah. So shout out to Jay Hood, probably the best facility ever. He can't just let anybody in all the time, which we understand. If we somehow had a key, that would be number one. If there's
Yeah.
something, that place is stupid. Like, it is actually stupid. The Hood, it's right off 285 in Georgian Smyrna. Awesome place. Acoustics are crazy. Super easy to see the ball. That's number one. But I'm not gonna put it at number one, just because it's not as accessible. Number two, I'm going to this little spot in Roswell next to the Georgia Golf Center. Unbelievable. I've hit there a good bit this winter. Dope spot. Shout out to the people over there. Little barn, great setting. I'm gonna throw Pius in it like a four for me. And just because this last place is okay. There's two places that are tied. No. Mount Vernon for me. I love hitting that mountain.
Vernon. That's a good.
And
Vernon's pretty nice.
I think we can't go without discussing Doherty High School, just because a lot of
I was gonna
Oh yeah.
there's been a lot of nights at Doherty High School that just one of those nights just sums up like what we do, right?
Yeah.
Just
That's, I
something that
mean, it's a gritty cage. I mean, that's probably beside Kirk's, that's the top two on the list of getting the most work done.
Yeah, dude,
Yeah, facts.
we've had some nights there. We've had some good nights, some bad nights. The thing about Dunwoody, especially with us, is well, dude, if the cage were on the other side where the car was, that would make our life so easier.
Yes.
But like just the accessibility, and we're not just like just throwing hitting facilities under like we're allowed to be there. But just it's a spot that is not super posh, but is big enough, has lights. I'm not saying go get gritty and hit wiffle balls in your garage. I'm also saying not go hit it the nicest. Find a place that's serviceable, but that you can get some work in.
Also got to throw my third. I got the Aaron Bock backyard cage.
It's
Gotta
small,
have
but
it.
it's
Gotta have
small, but
it
I'm gonna put that at actually I'm gonna put that at my number one just because
there.
so many memories have been made in there. Like, this past little gap semester for me, so-called, like I've had a good group of guys, but some days I'm like, hey, my dad and I get back there, set the machine in one of the corners and just take a bunch of hacks and talk about life. You can't really beat that. But yeah, I mean, look, there's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. There's for me, I think these facilities and stuff are great. We have them in our minds just because like the memories that you bring up, and it kind of reminds you of like the work you've done, right? So that to me is always pretty special.
Yeah.
We're gonna pivot a little bit. We got our general questions. We gotta kind of ask everybody, right, on the In and Out podcast. All right, so I'm gonna pepper you guys with some questions. Not gonna answer these are for you guys. So what's one piece of advice, right, you would give to your younger self? Talk to freshman year Charlie Ryan. Talk to sophomore year Charlie Ryan. 8th grade Charlie Ryan. Don't matter. What's one piece of advice you'd kind of give to your younger self?
I would say, I mean, I would just say get to work. I mean, I feel like for me, I realized that the amount of work it takes a little bit too late. Like I realized probably over COVID was the first time I realized I was like, all right, I gotta get to work. So I would just tell myself, get to work and no matter what it is, just show up and have a focus and get better and you'll learn as you go. Like you go through the stages, everybody does. And I mean, you'll get better. You'll learn the right things to do, the wrong things to do, but just get to work.
I love it. I love it.
Actually, I'm kind of the opposite of that. If I had to tell my, seventh, eighth grade, going into freshman year self, I'd tell myself to scale it back a little bit, to be honest. I would, I'd lay off the weight training. I'd lay off, all the hitting, the hitting coaches and the hitting specifics and all that, just 'cause like when I was that age, it was just It was just fun, you know. You were coming to the ballpark. It was kind of an escape from life. You're looking forward to the weekend tournaments, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, as you get older, you kind of lose the aspect of like what made it really fun back when you were in Little League, when you were playing at East Cobb, when you were playing at, you know, when you were waking up at 5 in the morning on Saturday morning to go play two pool play games and then get back from a 2 hour away ballpark until midnight that night. Then you got to wake up at 8 a.m. to go play some bracket play, and you got to wake up at 8 a.m. for school on Monday. And it's like, you know, those are some of the funnest baseball memories I've got is doing that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, when I was starting to move away from that and get more, you know, balls to the wall, like, you know, you got to get better. It's all about, you know, all about making it to the next level. It's like, you know, I would tell myself to really kind of take a step back from that and go back to what made the game really fun, which is just playing the game and like just playing, just being there playing.
I think there's so much value in that, and I think, yeah, dude, like the more you think about it, it becomes a business at higher and higher levels. And I think the more you can kind of keep this game a fun kids game, the best pro teams, the best college team look like a bunch of kids just have fun, right? So I think if you're young, remember to keep it fun, work hard and compete. Work hard and compete. I think that kind of goes hand in hand. Work hard, compete, have fun, and just if you really fall in love with the process, it can be fun. You can compete all at the same time. So that's kind of my little tidbit of advice. I kind of know this, but for the listeners, right? What for both of you guys, what is kind of the biggest thing you're focusing on right now to improve your game?
For me is just right now I'm really focusing on getting a lot faster. Obviously the focus with me for the past like 2 years has been hitting the ball harder, hit the ball harder, hit the ball harder. So that's still a focus, but right now I'd say the forefront is to run faster.
Absolutely.
And honestly, to my answer is going to be kind of redundant. It's kind of the same thing as what I said. The last one is kind of treating the game not necessarily as, you know, a job or, you know, the ultimate thing that my life's about, and just kind of regressing and kind of taking a step back and just letting whatever happens happen. You know, my performance has improved drastically over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, just over just letting go and not treating this game like it's everything. You know, Tyler Glasnow said something on I think it was a podcast, or maybe it was a news question a couple months ago during spring training, and he was talking about, you know, how his performance really dipped when he started treating the game like it was this just this it was everything was about the game. You know, you have to eat right every day, you have to get and sleep at a certain time every day, you got to wake up super early every day, you got to do this and you got to do that if you want to be successful. And the reality is, a lot of, you know, what Aaron said, the best of the best, or they treat it like it's a kid's game, because what it is a kid's game at the end of the day. They're out there, they're having the time of their lives, getting paid millions of dollars to have the time of their lives. So it's like just kind of not beating yourself up as much on the mental aspect of the game and just treating it like it's a game.
Yeah, I think, dude, I mean, yeah, you definitely hit the button on that one. I think the only way I can add in that is have balance, right? And kind of do things to the fullest when you do them, but then after be able to switch off, right? You know, we train hard, we play hard. The best way, the way the camaraderie starts, whether it's the off season, you know, whether it's us three, you know, if you hit with your guys, great. And then after, go get Waffle House or go play some golf and talk about anything but ball, right? And kind of when you do that, it puts a little bit more human aspect into it. And it kind of just says, hey, we're playing a game. Let's have fun. Let's do our thing, you know? So I'm kind of rocking with that one. But time to gloat a little bit. What would you kind of say the best thing you do on a baseball field is?
I would say I'm a great leader. I would say just, whatever position I'm at, I'm very good at, I have a high baseball IQ and I'm just very good at leading.
That's good.
I'm gonna pump up the boys with the bat, I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna provide as much energy and as much power and as much, as much energy as I can to the team is with the bat. I'm pretty big offensive guy. Defense is, it's coming along, but that's where I provide the most oomph to a team, and the where I really contribute the most is with the bat. So I try to be as best as I can in the box, give energy to the boys, double sellies, all that,
I love it. I do. I think there's such a fine line if you're a young guy between being cocky and celebrating versus being confident and bringing energy. And I think where that line is kind of lies in the way in the focus. So if you're young, and I know these are their questions, but I kind of want to clarify things. So we've had a lot of young listeners lately. If you hit a big double, celebrate with your team and keep the focus on your team. You see young kids, they start talking trash to other kids. And a point I meant to bring up earlier in this podcast, there's going to be guys you don't like when you're younger, whether it's on your team, on the same team. Charlie and I, when we met each other at 15, it was blatant. We didn't like each other. But as we both progressed and moved up in the levels, these are the guys you know. So you're going to revert to training with them and working out with them in the offseason. Because as you know, when you're 15, there's X amount of players playing at your age. And then when you're 16, there's X divided by two. And then every age group you go up, there's less and less guys. And Charlie, when we were at that age, there was only a couple guys that wanted to get better. And when our parents would take us to the field, right, it was us two who wanted to get better. And we lived close, so we started training together. And that's kind of how it works, right? Because you're going to form these relationships based on who has the same goals in mind and who are like-minded people. So often when you're younger, it's going to be opposing teams, guys you don't like, because you guys kind of have that same mantra, same energy. Right? Would you guys kind of agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
I
For
think
sure, for sure.
it's important to kind of the guys you might not like, have an open mind and know you guys are kind of grow out of it. Because now Charlie is one of my best friends and we train together a lot. If you would have told me that when we were 15, I probably would have eased off. Oh, like I hate Charlie a little bit. So it works itself out. Kind of
I'll
wrap these.
definitely add something to that. That state championship team I was on. I remember in my junior year, a lot of the guys that at the start of the year, I wasn't too sure. I wasn't in the mix as, one of the biggest team guys, if you know what I mean. I wasn't team, but it's at the end of the day, you don't get to pick your friend, however long your season is. So, I accepted that and I got real tight with my team and we made big old playoff run. We were not supposed to be where we were and where we ended up, and very, very proud because we got to put a number up on our scoreboard. So, and we had a lot of fun while we did it.
Absolutely. I mean, another really good example is one of my best friends, Slade Natterman, who's going to come on the show soon, a right-handed pitcher at the University of Miami. When he transferred into Weber his junior year, my sophomore year, that season we kind of butted heads a little bit because I think we both wanted to be a leader. We both, had big hopes for our individual seasons. And then once we kind of put that aside and started working together, we played a lot better. But now in the off season, we train together, right? We'll go back to our high school. We'll train. We'll get in that weight room together. We'll work on stuff. We'll go to the field and throw together. It's one of my guys, and these are the people that are going to be so close to you. And just realize, look, when you're young, even if you feel like you're in the right, you have so much to learn, right? So kind of know, understand that, put that aside, and just be willing to kind of spread these differences out and just. Look for the best in people, especially if you're a younger guy listening to this podcast. I cannot stress that enough. We're gonna let you guys get back to it. Masters week, so we're not gonna keep you guys too long. But my last question we've asked every single person that's ever been interviewed on this podcast: what's your favorite thing about baseball? You got to pick one thing. What's one thing that really encapsulates this game for you guys?
Any playoff atmosphere, like that type of like college, pro, whatever, JUCO, whatever, any type of intense situation, that's like, I love that.
Right. That's
Yeah.
good. That's good.
So I think I got my favorite thing about the game is just like it is my life, as much as I was talking about, trying to make it not everything, but it is. I do and I live and I breathe this sport. And it's like even when I'm, even after a tough loss, say we go to ABAC and we lose, We lose a tough one. We lose in the seventh inning of a 9-inning game. We lost the lead. We didn't quite seal the deal. Then we got a 4-hour bus ride home, and everybody's pissed off because we just lost a close game. All that mess. And then, I'm trying my darn hardest to get my mind off baseball, but I'm sitting there eating food, and what am I looking at? What do I find myself looking at? The latest Wheels College Baseball video, just because since the game is who I am, it's become part of me. So
And we
what you
form a
got, go
lot
for it.
of we form relationships through it. You've just, I don't even know if I've kind of shared my favorite thing about this game. And my favorite thing about this game is everything that comes with it, right? And for me, don't look at that as me saying, oh, I love, the attention of playing ball. No, not at all. What I love about baseball, well, besides just freaking hitting a barrel and just playing good, the feeling of work paying off, besides that, is just the camaraderie that it brings. Just the fact we're so lucky to have other guys and train with other guys and get lunch with other guys and just, on an off day, go play catch with the guys, right? Just
Bus
the
rides,
yeah, dude,
off
like
on bus rides.
I just
Dude, some of the
yeah.
best memories I had from my years of high school was actually not on the field. Was staying in the hotel to go play playoff series. That was so much fun. Like you were
Dude.
just there. It was literally just us BSing the whole time,
Yeah,
and it
and
was
like
so much fun.
going to IHOP with the boys after a game, or even the little thing, taking some flips with your friends in the backyard, just on a nice day in the summer, even after, because you guys are the guys I want to go play golf with or go fish with, right? And just you guys are when say I want to talk about girls or something not ball, I'm gonna call my boys. The ones that I've met through this sport, one, because we've kind of went through it together, the good, the bad, we've all kind of enjoyed this process together. And I think it's a beautiful thing when you can kind of see your boys get their stuff done and see their work pay off. And then I think it kind of lets you be like, all right, like, well, either if you've done it and they're doing it, or if it happens to them, it's like, all right, I see what they've done. It's next. I'm next. Just kind of working with each other and letting it all tie together. One big group, one big family. Everybody that you meet, it's a whole big family. I think it's awesome. So, anything else to add, boys?
And yeah, there's you could give any number of answers to that question, but I definitely agree with all those. Another one would just be like all the work that you put in. I love that. I love doing that and then going and playing and then doing it again and again. I just love that. That's what makes it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I really appreciate you guys. You really appreciate you guys hopping on the show last minute. Not the last time. I promise you guys, Charlie and Ryan will be on the show. Side note, as we kind of branch off and do some other stuff, the pod, locker room media, some other stuff aside with that, we'll get some videos, especially some live at bats, some BP sessions with the boys. I'll be with these guys a lot, preparing for summer ball. Hopefully in summer ball, we got some off days, maybe hit the lake, maybe hit the pool. But it'll be a good time. I'm excited to share some good memories. And who knows, I could be teaming up with one of these guys. That said, with a lot of these guys I met with a pod, whether it be summer ball, college down the line, you never know where you're going to find yourself. So always keep your relationships open. I love these guys. I appreciate you guys being on the show. And that being said, do the outro.
Watch me as I take off. I'll be working until I have all of my days off. Then I'm surfing in California when I'm paid off. I'll be blurring my vision, sipping on that bass sauce. La da da, watch out, I'm coming, yeah. Blow up, blow up, yeah, I just wanna blow up, blow up, yeah, I just wanna blow up, blow up, yeah, I just wanna blow up, blow up.
Blow up, blow up, blow up.